Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I am continuing in a teaching that I've been doing for 4 weeks on knowing God. I have a brand new album out on this, and I tell you, I think it's powerful. This is what changed my life. I got born again when I was 8 years old, and in a sense I could say that I knew God. I knew Him as Savior. But you know, I was raised in a denomination that misrepresented God on some key issues. I'm not critical or mad about it, but I'm just saying I got born again through the preaching of that denomination, so I'm not mad at them or not appreciating what they did, but there's some things that they didn't represent God on. They didn't represent that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. They said that He passed away, His miracles passed away, that all we could do is get our sins forgiven and then lead somebody else to the Lord and basically just hold on until heaven. I've come to realize that, man, God is alive and powerful, and we can know Him now. And so I got born again when I was 8, but when I was 18, I had an encounter where God revealed Himself to me in a different way than I had ever heard. And since then, I have been growing at an exponential rate in knowing God, and this is what's totally turned my life around. And as a result, the lives of all of the people that God allows me to touch with His Word. It's just knowing God. You know, I am an anomaly, really. I didn't go to Bible college, even though I now have a Bible college. I never went to Bible college. I never was mentored by anybody. I had a couple of people that were really strong in my life, but I mean, once I made a commitment to go into ministry, I was never mentored by anybody, and I am not the way that it really should be done. It's a miracle. You know, I've had people go through our Bible college and graduate, and they're going to go out and basically, like I did, just jump off into the deep end and hope that they can swim. And I've told them, you'll never make it. And the Lord has stopped me before and says, that's exactly what you did, and you made it. You know what? I survived, but I wouldn't recommend that anybody learn things the way that I learned it. But if you live through it, it makes a great testimony. My point in saying all of this is that the odds were stacked against me. There is no reason that here I am 40 years after that experience, March the 23rd, 1968, the odds are that I shouldn't still be in love with God. I shouldn't still be growing. I shouldn't still have God being powerful and influential in my life. And yet, He is. I defy the odds. And you know what made it work? I just knew God. I haven't done everything right. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've stumbled. It's taken me longer than it's taken some other people. But I can tell you that knowing God will pull you through. It is the bottom line, and that's what I've been talking about. And I really believe that this is a missing ingredient in a lot of people's lives. So we've talked about all of these things. We've talked about that you can't come to know God in just your flesh, in your physical, natural ability, with your own mind, intellect, with your five senses. You must know Him spirit to spirit. John 4:24 is a scripture I've used many times during this series, and it says, God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not a recommendation. It's not a suggestion. You must contact Him spirit to spirit. So what I began sharing on our program yesterday is, how do you do that? And I use 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Basically, I emphasize that the way we come to know God is through His Word. God's Word, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, imparted to us Scripture. I believe Jesus is the greatest manifestation of God that the world has ever had, but we didn't physically see Jesus. And the way we have Jesus revealed to us is through the Word. The Holy Spirit takes the truths and the promises communicated in the Word and gives us enlightenment on it. And so if you really want to know God, if you want to go beyond your human ability, your five senses, and if you want to move into the spirit realm, the way you do it is through the Word of God. Now, I'm also going to be emphasizing the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and it's really hard to distinguish and separate between these two because the Spirit and the Word agree, and the Spirit and the Word work together. I'm not talking about just taking vain, empty words and trying to figure them out on your own and reading the Bible like you read a book. No, it's totally different. This isn't written to your brain. It's written to your spirit. And if you will open up your heart and allow the Holy Spirit, He will make these words just come alive on the inside of you. Like it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick there means alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is a living Word. There's a huge difference between the Word of God and any other book. You know, I've written books. I've got a lot of my books out. And I believe that they carry an anointing on them because I put the Word of God in it and I'm expounding on truths. But still, even though I believe that there's an anointing and a blessing on my books, it's not the same as the Bible, that every word is God-breathed. I believe that my books contain truth. And, you know, I try and make them as accurate as I can, but I wouldn't claim that they are equal to Scripture or anything like that. The Bible is just different than any other book, even books about the Bible. The Bible is literally God-breathed. Boy, that's a powerful statement. You know, I was using those Scriptures yesterday out of 2 Peter chapter 1 about how that all things that pertain unto life and godliness come through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Let me just drop down in that chapter and read in verse 20. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is any private interpretation. For the prophecy, and this is not limited to just like some prophecy about the coming of the Messiah or a prophecy about the nation of Israel going into exile or something. This is just a word that is referring to basically all of the communicated Scripture. It's referring to the Scripture that God gave. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Bible is God-breathed. If you look some of these words up in the Greek, when it says it was given by the inspiration of God, it literally means God-breathed, that the Word is God-breathed. God, this came from God. This is God's wisdom being imparted unto us. And if you want to move into faith, and if you want to communicate and contact God, you've got to do it spirit to spirit. Jesus said, John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You cannot get into the godly spiritual realm and truly make contact with God without the Word of God. And notice that I emphasized you can't get into the godly spiritual realm without the Word of God. You can get into the spiritual realm through a lot of different things. There's a lot of ways to the devil. You know, some people will say there's many paths that lead to God. That's absolutely a lie. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. There are not many paths that lead to God, but there are many paths that lead to the devil. Any path that leads you anywhere except through Jesus to God is going to lead you to the devil. And it doesn't matter if you're into this religion, this doctrine, this philosophy or whatever. You could have a million different philosophies, and if they don't incorporate Jesus as the only way to God, then that path will lead you to the devil. And so there are many ways that you could get into the spiritual realm. You can go to seances. You can get into drugs. You can start doing mind-altering things. You know, there's just a lot of things. There's Eastern meditation, religion that will get you into the spirit realm, but it's not God's spirit. So I have to qualify this, that if you want to get into the spiritual realm and contact God and come to know God, you cannot do that apart from the Word of God. If you don't use God's Word hand in hand, like a glove inside of a hand, if you don't put the Word of God and the Spirit together, then you can get into the spiritual realm, but it won't be God. God released His knowledge, the knowledge of who He is. He reveals Himself through His Word. In Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 34, it says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Now, we nearly always use this in a negative way, and that's the way that Jesus spoke it right here. He was talking about how can you speak good things when you're evil at your heart? Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. An evil person, if he ever says something nice out of his mouth, then it's hypocrisy. It's an act. It's not the real them. An evil person may be able to con you for a little bit of time, but if you listen to them over a consistent period of time, this verse says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. A person can lie temporarily. A person can deceive and act like an actor and be a hypocrite and profess something that they aren't. But if you observe their words over a prolonged period of time, they'll always, always give away themselves because out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth speaks. So we use that in a negative way to illustrate that a person is eventually going to get hung by their tongue. Their words will show what's in their heart. But let me switch this around and use it in a positive way for God. The Lord is one that put this axiom down that said that this is the way that it is. And you know what? This isn't only true of us, but this is true of God. Out of the abundance of His heart, God has spoken. And we call this the Word of God. And so I believe that you can take this same principle here that He's talking to us about how to recognize and discern a true prophet of God, a person when they're genuine or not, and you can apply the same thing to God. God, of course, is all good. There is no evil in Him. And out of the abundance of His heart, He has revealed Himself through the words that He speaks. That's powerful. If you understand that, if you really understood that and embraced that and believed it, you know what? You would be studying this Word day and night. Because as you study this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit help you to discern it, you would come to know God because He's revealed Himself in the pages of this Bible. I really believe that. You know, I've had some people criticize me and say, you love the Bible more than you love God. And that is not so. But I've had that criticism a number of times because I really do love the Word of God because it is through the revelation that God's Word has given me that I've come to know Him. But I don't love just the Bible. I love what's behind it. I love the truth. I love the person that it has revealed to me. And I really believe with all of my heart that the Word of God is God-breathed, given by God so that through these exceeding great and precious promises, I can become a partaker of God's divine nature. I can come to know Him. And I believe that. I've been teaching on knowing God, and I just would be remiss to talk about knowing God, to talk about how important it is, and then not emphasize that the way we come to know Him is to take the revelation that He's given in His Word and believe it and receive it. The very next verse in this context, Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 35, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man speaks shall they give an account thereof in the day of judgment, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Again, we use that nearly exclusively to talk about the importance of words for us. But the same thing is true of God. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. It's the same thing that was spoken in the previous verse about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you are a good man, well, your words are going to betray you. They're going to reveal that. They're going to show it to everybody because you eventually say what you believe. And God, this is true of God too. Of course, there is no evil in God, but this good God out of the abundance of His heart has spoken these things and has revealed His true nature and character to us through the Word of God. And this is how you come to know God. Man, this is powerful. You know, Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were priding themselves on being leaders among the people and having a superior knowledge, and yet they rejected Jesus when the Bible clearly, clearly prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus, I literally have got a list of scriptures. I don't have them in front of me, but there are literally dozens, possibly hundreds of Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah that Jesus fulfilled to the T. And yet they refused to see it, they refused to accept it, and they were priding themselves that they had a superior knowledge. And Jesus, when he was criticized by them, he says, "Search the scriptures, for they testify of me." The Word of God reveals Jesus to us. And he told him in another place, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life." If you go back to a teaching I did a few weeks ago, eternal life, John 17:3, is knowing God. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life," or "in them you think you come to know God." And it's true that the Word of God is how we come to know Him. But the scribes and the Pharisees are a warning to all of us that they memorize large portions of Scripture, and yet it didn't give them the true take on the nature of God. They didn't have the right discernment of it. As Paul later said in Romans chapter 10, he says, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." They had the knowledge of God's Word as far as, you know, they could quote it, but they didn't understand the spirit that was behind it. You know, here's another way that the Apostle Paul said this over in 2 Corinthians 3:6. He says, "Who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." In other words, if all you do is memorize scriptures and just pick verses here and there, and you don't let the Holy Spirit reveal this truth to you, if the Holy Spirit isn't involved in your Bible study, if you're just doing it with your mind, and if you're dissecting the Word, well, then this is how we've got so many weird doctrines today and everybody claiming that they're all hearing from God. You know, if you just take the Word of God and don't let the Spirit guide you, I heard a person one time that said that they were going to ask God to speak to them through the Word, and so they just flopped the Bible open and they read a verse that says that Judas went and hung himself. They said, "Whoa, man, that couldn't be God. I need a confirmation." So they just flopped it open to another place, and it says, "Go and do thou likewise." They put those two together. You know what? That is not rightly dividing the Word of God. And yet, there's so many words in here. There's so many things said in the Bible that if you aren't inspired by the Holy Spirit as you study it, you can make the Word of God say basically anything you want it to. But when you put the Word and the Spirit together, it's a perfect representation. Let me give you this example. I had a Bible college student one time that the Bible college student was fine with what I was saying, but the wife thought that I emphasized the Word of God more than I did the Spirit, and she thought that I wasn't spiritual enough, that I was just operating under the letter of the law. And so anyway, she struggled with this, and she had a dream, and in this dream, she landed on the beaches of Normandy, like back during World War II, and in her dream, there was this minefield in front of her, and she knew that the mines were there, but she couldn't see them. And she said that the Lord spoke to her and said, "Which would you rather have, a map that shows you where every mine is, or would you rather hear the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you to move right, move left, move forward, do this?" And she says, "Oh, I'd rather have the Spirit speaking to me." So she came and told me that dream, and she thought that that just proved her point, that here I was using the Bible like a map, and I was subject to misinterpreting in it, and how did I know I was reading it right? How did I know that I started from the right place? That just reading a map was far inferior to just having a Spirit speak to you and tell you move forward, move left. She thought that that was really making her point. But you know what? It made my point perfectly. Because what I'm advocating is not just taking the Word of God like a map and just using it carnally and not having any witness or understanding in your spirit. I'm talking about mixing the two together. Now let's go back to that example. If you were trying to navigate a minefield, which would you rather have, a map or a voice that told you which way to go? Either one is subject to problems. You could misread the map. You could also hear a wrong voice. When it comes to hearing God, did you know that there's more than one voice out there? The Holy Spirit's not the only voice. You've got your own voice. You can come up with your own thoughts. How do you know it's not the devil speaking unto you? But the Spirit and the Word agree perfectly. And if you had a map and a voice speaking to you, confirming that, yes, you're at this place, or no, you aren't starting at the right spot, if you had the map and the voice together, that would be much better than either one separately. And see, this is the way that I approach the Word of God. I don't read it just like it's something and I just observe it without having any inspiration or interpretation whatsoever. But I rely upon the Holy Spirit. And as I read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to me through the words and makes the truths in the Word come alive. And between the leadership of the Spirit and the voice of God that I hear on the inside and the accuracy of the written Word, those two together provide an unfailing guide for us. And if you want to know God, then you have to have the Word of God quickened to you by the Holy Spirit. This is how God has chosen to reveal Himself to us. The Word of God for us in this day is absolutely, without any question, the number one way that God has imparted this knowledge about Him to us. The Holy Spirit is there to confirm it and bear witness, and really it's only for the purpose of discussion that you can separate between the two, because they should function together. But technically speaking, the Word of God is where the revelation comes, and then the Holy Spirit bears witness with these truths. And through that, we come to know God. And the good news is that God wants you to know Him more than you want to know Him. So you don't have to beg and plead. God has given us the Word, He's given us the Spirit for the purpose of revealing Himself. And if you will just allow the Lord, He will reveal Himself to you. He will show you His true nature, and you can come to know God. That is great, great news. You know, I'm out of time today, but I've got more to share on this, so I'm going to continue it on our program tomorrow.